I'd like to talk about prayer and go through some of the basics of prayer. But then I want to focus on persistent prayer, where Jesus tells us to pray persistently for something and maybe why he wants us to pray persistently. Prayer is our way of talking to God. It's nothing more than that. It's just us talking to the creator of the universe, talking to God the Father, talking to Christ, talking with the Holy Spirit. I don't think it's anything fancier than that, really. But it's something that I think as Christians, and I'm speaking mainly for myself, tend to neglect. It's easier for me to go and listen to a podcast or listen to teaching, listen to that, or to go into the Bible and study the Bible, prepare for Bible study, prepare for the sermon. It's a lot easier for me to do that, to at least study God's word, than I find myself actually catching myself talking to God, talking to him and just praying. It's something I actually need to focus on, need to bring more into my life, is to pray. Yes, I know we pray when we have a need, then we're very quick to pray. But it's just normal. I think there's a lack of, and maybe I'm speaking not for everybody, but for some people, is a lack of just talking to God. Just saying, well, here I am. let's chat about something. Let's chat about me, you, whatever, the world, and just having that natural flow, that natural conversation with God. I think we lack a lot of that. Shared before that when we pull away from God, I think sometimes we rather stand on our own strength to do things. I shared a long time ago about worry. Why we worry? We would rather worry first about something than take it to God. We would rather persist in our own strength to do something than taking it to God and putting it on the altar before him and saying, let's deal with this together. Yes, I'm still worried, but at least I know God is working with it, with me on it. So, yeah. So there's two aspects of prayer. There's this praying without ceasing. Jesus refers to it, he says, we pray, or Paul wrote, we pour without ceasing. We continually pray. Okay? And I think for prayer to be effective, it has to be spoken. I struggle with, and I'm talking from my own experience, that praying quietly, silently, having silent time with God, my mind drifts. If I'm not talking the words, I don't know about you, but when I'm starting to pray in my head and I'm talking to God, and then, I don't know, all sorts of weird things come into my head. Nothing to do with God, nothing to do with prayer. And it's not the devil. It's not, he doesn't know what I'm thinking or what I'm doing. He's not omniscient. It's me. My mind wanders. I woke up early this morning, just naturally, the alarm didn't go off. I woke up early and I'm starting to go through the sermon and I'm thinking about prayer and that. So in a sense, I'm praying because I'm talking to God about the sermon, and my mind is all over the place and I have to keep pulling it back and saying, hang on a minute. I'm going through the sermon. Why am I thinking about this now or that? It's totally irrelevant. And I think we need to actually talk. We're physical human beings. We're on this earth. We're on a material world. And I think we need to learn to actually just talk to God with the mouth so that we are focused on what we're saying and we can hear what we're saying. Because when I'm preaching, I'm more likely to be focused because I'm talking it out. When I'm going through it in my head, I'm all over the place. And I think prayer is the same thing. And I'm going to start trying that. So if I'm praying to God, I'm going to talk out loud. Now, I know some places you can't do it. If you're sitting at your office in work and you start talking to God in an open plan office maybe, you're going to get some really weird looks. You know, I mean, there are places where you can't. Sitting on the bus talking to yourself. Maybe they'll think you've got talking to someone on the phone. I don't know. Because that's, you often see people walking down the street just talking. And you think, who are they talking to? Crazy people. They've got earphones in. You can't always do it. But I think when we have the opportunity, I know I'm going to start trying to do that. Rather talk out loud. First of all, focus on praying. And then when I do, talk out loud and just put it into real physical practice to focus my mind, to concentrate. I'm talking to God, not other thoughts. I don't want intrusive thoughts. I think the other advantage of speaking out loud as well is I'm a loner. This is my nature. And all the time I spent in Korea, I spent a lot of time on my own. So you think in your head a lot. And when I came back to South Africa, now I've got a dickie with me. And I'm convinced that I've told her something. But I haven't. It was just in my head. I'm convinced that we agreed on this or, you know, but I've never actually mentioned it verbally to her. So I think it's important that when we speak to God, I want the devil to hear what I'm saying to God. I want him to know that I'm in agreement with God because he doesn't know my thoughts. But I want devil and his demons and anybody else out there to know that this is what I am agreeing and talking and discussing with God so that he can hear it and he can know where I am and what I'm doing. You know, I want him to know that I'm talking to God. That's it. If it's in my head, he doesn't know, nor does anybody else. So it has to be verbal. The other part of praying is something which I did struggle a little bit with, and maybe still do, is this call to pray persistently. And in Luke 11, we have the story of the guy who, somebody visits him late at night, and he hasn't got any food to offer him, because it was unexpected. I suppose before the days of social media, people just pitched up when they could, without public transport. So this person's friends arrive, and now he has no food in the house, and he wants to give them food. So he goes to his neighbor's house. It's late at night, and he's knocking on the door. And the neighbor's saying, go away. I've already closed up the house. I don't want to now open up everything, disturb the whole family, the animals, whatever, you know. Just go away. But the guy keeps knocking and keeps asking for bread. He obviously knows he's got bread there, so he keeps asking for it. And eventually the neighbor will open out of irritation, will open up and give him the bread just so he will go away because obviously he's persistent. And Jesus shares as well the story of the widow who had some injustice against her. Somebody had done something wrong against her. And she'd gone to a judge who was corrupt. Sounds familiar, hey? He'd gone to a judge who was corrupt and didn't care for people, who was only interested in himself and his people. And she persisted. She kept coming to him and saying, I want this injustice righted. And eventually he says, just out of exasperation, she's going to keep bugging me, so I will sort it out. Now, Jesus doesn't say that God is like that, where if you keep nagging him for something, eventually you will get that Mercedes because you have been nagging him and nagging him and nagging him and nagging him. And then eventually in exasperation, God says, okay, whatever, have it. It's not that. He says, if the unjust judge can respond to persistence, how much more will God respond? How much faster will God respond to your persistence? But he's teaching people to be persistent in prayer. And for me, it was a bit of a difficulty to understand because I'm told that God will provide my needs. I'm told that God is listening to me and yet now he's telling me essentially to nag him, to be persistent in asking for something. So why is that? And like most things with God and in the Bible, when there's something like that, he's telling it not for his benefit. He's not telling us to be persistent in prayer because he needs reminders and because he needs to be told about it again and again and again. He's telling us because it does something in us. So what is it that it does in, what does it do in us? Because there must be a reason why he wants us to be persistent. And there's a lot of people, I listen to a lot of sermons about it and teachings about it, and pulled some of the ideas out of it. Because the Bible doesn't tell you why he wants you to be persistent. But I know he wants me to be persistent on certain things. Why, so if I'm praying for a need, and part, most of it is because we need to grow. So when we are persistent in praying for something, we have a desire in our heart for something. And we persist in praying for this because we believe that we, God is listening and we do that. So how does that help us to grow? Well, the first thing I think is as we keep praying for this particular desire, our thoughts start to align more with what God wants. Because often if I pray for something, it's more out of what I need. And it could be a real need, a genuine need, but it's what I want. And I need to spend time in prayer so that I can look at this desire, look at this want. And as I pray it, as I pray it, as I pray it, as I pray it, I start realizing that's not the real want. That there's more. I need to change my prayer. I need to change that desire in my heart. God is talking to me. He's saying, no, that's not what you really want. What you really want is this. Okay? So, it could be, let's talk financial. There's a financial need. I need help with something on financially. And I'll pray and pray and pray. And God will work within me to teach me. Eventually, the prayer will change to something like, God, teach me to be satisfied with what I have. Not with what I want, maybe. You know, something like that. So your desire changes. It becomes more in line with what God wants for you. But it takes time because we're slow. It's not that God is slow. We're the slow ones. And it takes us time to learn. Another thing is I've just spent a week with my grandchildren. And I'm not a very patient man. Always. But I spent time with spent time with the grandchildren, and the one is 2 and the one is 4 years old at that awful stage of always, they don't understand. They can verbalize, they're starting to communicate, especially the 2-year-old, but he doesn't understand when he says, I want a sweet, and you say, you can have it later after you've eaten. No, there's no such thing as later. The tantrum starts. There's a maturity required for him to understand that you can have it later, but not right now. And I think sometimes when we pray for something, God is also telling us, you can't have it right now. You need to wait. You need to mature before you are capable of having the nice thing, the sweet, the blessing. You need to grow up a little bit first. And it takes time to grow up. There's nothing you can do about it. It just takes time to grow up, to understand. I was playing with my grandson, and 2-year-olds have a fixation on something. He was on the trampoline jumping, and then I was outside the trampoline, he's inside the trampoline, there's a mesh for safety, and he puts his hands like this, and I push him, and he falls backwards, big laugh. And he stands up, and he puts his hands there, and I push, he falls back, and he laughs. You think, okay, that's nice, that's a good experience. After 20 times of doing this same stupid thing, I'm exasperated, but he's still having fun. He's immature, and then he comes, eventually he says, take me off the trampoline. So I say, great. So I take him off the trampoline. Now we can play something else. No, I have to go on the trampoline now. And now I have to be pushed, and I have to fall backwards for the next 10, 15, 20 times. until he's satisfied. And I'm frustrated because we only need to do this once or twice. And then let's move on. Let's do something else, you know. And I thought, maybe God sees me like that 2-year-old. But in a lot of things that I'm doing in my life, I think I'm pleasing God. Because it pleases me, I'm pleasing God. And I'm doing it again and again and again. And God is saying, when is this guy ever going to grow up? When is he going to mature? When is he going to, you know, do something different? Yeah. So that's why we changed the service. We're going to do something different. Okay. So sometimes when we're praying, there's a period of time that we need to mature, that we need to grow up. We need to understand more. And we need to hear more teaching. We need to hear more whatever. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. So there's a period of time. The other one is the, as we pray persistently for something, it makes us pay attention to God. One of the most precious things that we have is time. It's not money. It's not things. It's time. We only have a fixed amount of time. And by giving attention, I mean, the best thing I can give Dickie is my attention. Best thing I can give my kids is my attention because I'm giving them time. So when I'm praying persistently, I am giving God my attention. Maybe for the wrong motives in that, but I am giving him my attention. I'm giving him my time. And I need to spend more doing that. I need to do more, giving him my attention. I think also praying persistently, besides changing my desire, correcting my desire, I think it also tests my priorities. I'm probably more concerned about job, health, wealth, all those things, instead of having my priority on what does God want me to do? So when I am praying persistently for something, I'm spending time with God, and spending time with God will influence me, will change the way I think, change the way I do things, and I will start focusing more on doing what God wants me to do. So I'm changing my priorities. The job is no more important. What's important is that when I'm at work, I am looking for opportunities to share the gospel. Or when I'm at work, I'm there to do my best. But it's nothing to do with wanting promotion or more money or being the best in the job. I'm there to see what God wants me to do in the workplace or wherever I am. So I think this persistence of prayer, this persistence of praying for something teaches you to assess your priorities. I look at some of the verses. In Psalm 84, verse 11, the Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. And we're told again in Matthew 6, don't worry about things, just focus on what God wants, and then the blessings will come. We tend to focus on praying for the blessings instead of praying for what does God want out of us so that we can receive the blessings. And lastly, I think praying persistently will test my faith. Because I have to wait. I have to focus on God. I have to be patient. I have to understand what does God want out of me. So it tests my faith in many ways. In Galatians 6 verse 9, says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So as you pray persistently for something, maybe it's for health, maybe it's for somebody to know the Lord, and it's not happening, we have to rely on what we've read in the Bible, that God is listening, God is real. The Holy Spirit is there. And you have to just build up that faith that it will happen. It's a time of testing to make sure that you know what you want, where you're going. I think praying persistently also is sometimes you pray things on a whim. We get an idea, we pray it, and then we forget about it. I used to have a trick at work. My colleagues, my team knew, because you know you have management meetings, and then managers ask you for stupid things to be done, and you know it's a waste of time and you don't have the resources, but you can't argue with them. They have a fixation in their head, they want this done. So I used to have a special notebook, and my team knew. I would open that notebook, and I would say to the boss, I hear you, and I write it down. Okay? And I write it down, I close that book and never look at it again. But they're happy because I paid attention and I wrote it down. I was listening to Rick Warren, and he says, when you pray and you pray persistently, there are 4 replies you can have to your prayer. And he makes it like a catchy phrase. It's no, grow, slow, go. Okay. So no, the answer is no. This is the wrong desire. You can't have it. And by praying persistently, eventually we catch on and say, okay, God, you're right. I have the wrong desire. This is not for me. This is not good for me at this time. So no, that's the answer is no right now. The other one is grow. Like I said, as you pray into something, your character develops. God is more interested in your character than in your wealth and stuff like that. You can't take that to heaven. You can only take your character to heaven. So let's grow the character. The other one is slow. God will do things in his time. It will happen, but it's going to happen when you're ready. Or maybe you're praying for somebody else to know the Lord or for whatever. They also need to agree with this. You can't force them to accept the Lord. They need to slowly come to grips with it and accept. So you're praying for them, but it can take a long time before they're ready for it, or whatever it is you're praying for them. And then go is, yeah, it's the opposite of no. God says, yes, sure, here it is, go for it. It's done. It's done. Prayer is about a few things. One is consistency. I think we need to set aside time for prayer. I'm not saying that we should have like a ritualistic pray for the 10 minutes in the morning and that's it for the rest of the day. We should be praying without ceasing the whole time. But there should be a time that you're prepared to set time aside and say, Lord, this is your time. Let me study your word. Let me pray. We need that consistently. Just as we need to spend time with our children or with our wives, our spouses, we need to spend time. Perseverance. We have to show perseverance. We need to continue to pray, even when we have discouragement, unanswered prayer, spiritual dryness. We go through patches where we don't feel the Lord is there. We know he's there, but we don't feel it. And we need to keep praying through that. So we need that perseverance. Don't turn your back. Push through. Sometimes God is testing you. The verse is here somewhere that says, I think it was in Jeremiah, and he says, 2/3 of the people will die and fall away. They're captured in Babylon. He says, but the remaining third will be refined like silver, like gold. And then after they've been tested and refined, they will turn to me and I will hear them. I will listen. So sometimes we just need that perseverance to push through. Sincerity. When we pray, we need to recognize that God knows our hearts. We can't hide things from him. And we need to be open and share and say, I am struggling with this, or I need help with this. We need to be fully open to the Lord and not try and hide things and cover up and pretend to be someone who we aren't. So we need that sincerity. I think we also need to be show gratitude. Faithfulness in prayer, and this is from Philippians, includes thankfulness. Recognizing God is at work under all circumstances, not just when things are going well. So what I'd challenge you to do is to have a look at prayer. Don't listen to just what I said. These are my thoughts. What we need to do is look at prayer more deeply. Sorry. We need to look at prayer more deeply. We need to make it more important in our lives, I think. It's up there with reading the Bible. Maybe more. I don't know. We need to speak to God. We need to talk to Him and we need to listen. And I challenge you just to go away and just think about it. And how much time do you really spend in prayer? And when you do pray, are you persistent? What are you praying about? Is it just shopping list? You know, the shopping list prayer where we have, I need this, I need this, I need this, auntie needs that, uncle needs that, that type of thing. Or is it really that you want to get to know God better, that you want to develop, become more Christ-like? What is your prayer life like? I think when we start praying, it is like the child in the sweet shop. We're just grabbing and wanting and things like that. And we need to get beyond that. We need to mature to, what do you want, God? Let me hear from you. What must I be doing? Prayer is important. Prayer is vital. I think it's neglected. My dad always used to say, because he struggled with it, he was an elder in his congregation, whatever it was, and he said he'd organize a prayer meeting, 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 people pitch up, 10 people pitch up, awesome, that's really good. And they had a church of like 1,000. 6 or 10 will pitch up. He says, organize a men's breakfast at 6 o'clock, 300 people pitch up. You know, it's prayer is just not seen as that vital part of our life as Christians. It's just not important enough. People don't want to come and pray. People are shy to pray. Why are we so shy to talk to God out loud? I'm one of them. Why are we so shy to talk to God? If we are really born again Christians. So yeah. Challenge you. Go away. Think about your prayer life. Work on it. And maybe next week we can have some feedback on prayer and your prayer life, if you're willing to share. Yeah. Amen. Let me just close off. Father, I give thanks that we can talk to you directly. I give thanks that we can just come into your presence, into the Holy of Holies, and just be with you. And just like Adam and Eve, we can just walk and talk with you. We don't have to do anything special. We don't have to be righteous or holy, because your Son, Jesus Christ, has made us holy, has made us righteous in your sight. And because of that, Father, we can just talk to you. So teach us, Father, just to make it a gap in our lives, that we feel that we have to come talk to you. We need to talk to you, Father God. Make it real to us. Let us make it part of our daily life, our daily minute by minute, that we want to be in your presence and to talk to you and listen to you. Thank you, Father. Amen.